Poor people gonna rise up and take what's there. Cause finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about a revolution.
This Week in Radical History for the week starting June 1st. Inspiration for the segment came from the Slingshot organizer. Other random info came from the People's Calendar at the Daily Bleed website. Also this week, we gently lifted some audio from the Columbus Community Radio Foundation and the Radio Roots crew at WBAI in New York. This Week in Radical History for June 1st. Proving once again that the New World was not founded on religious freedoms like your high school textbooks like to tell you, Mary Dyer is hung in 1660 on this date in Boston, her crime being a Quaker. Also on June 1st, 1855, William Walker raises a private army in the United States and conquers Nicaragua. Walker's first act as ruler is to officially bring back slavery.
On this day, June 1st in 1868, a treaty was signed between the United States government and the Diné or Navajo Nation, allowing the Diné people imprisoned at the Bosque Redondo concentration camp in present-day New Mexico to return to their ancestral lands in northern Arizona. By the Treaty of Bosque Redondo, the United States agreed to pay partial reparations to the Diné and to guarantee their security, yet the Diné were obligated to send their children to English-speaking schools to be established by the U.S. Indian Agency. And those are just some of the events in world history that took place on this day, June 1st. This Day in History is a production of the Neighborhood Network in Columbus, Ohio. I'm Enid Quinn.
Also on June 1st, 1873, was the ending of the most costly Indian war with the United States, as Kimpasha, more commonly known as Captain Jack, is captured by the United States Army after 5 years' struggle against forced relocation to a reservation. Also on this date, 1903, anarchist and feminist Emma Goldman, a writer friend, quote, "Mother Liberty caresses the generous affections of those armed with the weapons of high-minded honesty, has grasped that the freedom of each is rooted in the freedom of all." Unquote. Also on June 1st, 1921, white race riots continue in Tulsa, Oklahoma, leaving 300-plus dead. Today, the black community of Greenwood was destroyed by a white mob, who murder many and burn down nearly the entire area, destroying over 1,000 homes and businesses in the 35-block area. No one was ever charged with the wrongdoing, no reparations ever made, and accounts of the riots are literally cut out of newspaper archives in Tulsa that tries to erase the accounts and the memories of this not-so-glorious event. Also this date, in 1929, China, at a meeting in Peking of the KAFC, it is decided to direct all resources outside Korea itself to Manchuria, and most of the KAFC members move to the anarchist zone north of Manchuria. Over 2 million Koreans are living in Manchuria, and the Korean Anarchist Federation is active and influential among them. Unfortunately, between the Japanese attacks in the south and the Russian-supported attacks by the Stalinists from the north, coupled with the assassination and kidnapping teams sent in by Stalinists into the anarchist zone in early 1931, many leading anarchists were soon dead, and the war on two fronts would devastate the area, forcing the anarchist movement to go underground. A little closer at home, in 1954, a secret CIA memo proposes, quote, "simulated Guatemalan aggression against Honduras, fake kidnapping and desecration of churches to topple democratically elected President Alvarez. Let freedom ring."
Virginia, there is no Santa Claus, no great pumpkin, no Easter bunny, and no tooth fairy. And as though that weren't bad enough, here's another shocker. The U.S. government has done some bad things over the years and will almost certainly continue to do them in the years ahead. Foreign policy has very little to do with morality. And as long as any action can be justified by explaining that it was performed in the national interest, that will continue to be the case. And so we give support to repressive governments in South Korea and Brazil and Chile because it is in our national interest to do so. We will supply sophisticated weapons to backward countries and betray an entire people like the Kurds, all because it is in our national interest. What may be difficult to accept is that there's nothing new about that. In fact, it's what we hire our Secretary of State and our Foreign Service to do for us. The myth is that since the First World War, we were ever able to conduct our foreign policy any other way. The United States is a superpower with enormous and divergent interests that it is committed to protect. And at best it is naive, at worst hypocritical, that they don't understand what's involved in that harsh reality. I'm Ted Koppel in New York. Enjoy the rest of the weekend.
This Week in Radical History for June 2nd.
In the wee hours of this day in 1863, a historic raid by Union troops was carried out in South Carolina, which resulted in the destruction of several plantations and which liberated nearly 800 African slaves, all without a single casualty or injury on the Union side. The raid was led and directed by a black woman by the name of Harriet Tubman, one of the founders of the Underground Railroad, by which many fugitive slaves were smuggled to freedom in the northern states and Canada. Tubman was remembered as the principal engineer on the Underground Railroad, but her skill and insights as a military commander were revered by Union officers in the Carolinas, and this was just one of many successful raids Tubman led. Ironically, the U.S. military would remain racially segregated for almost another 100 years, and women in the U.S. military are still restricted from combat in most cases. And on this day in 1989, more than 10,000 Chinese troops attempted to enter Tiananmen Square in the capital city of Beijing to drive out student protesters who were occupying the square and who had set up a tent city encampment there to protest in favor of democratic reforms. The troops were stopped, however, by a much larger group of Chinese citizens who blocked all of the access points to the square. The standoff continued for several days, until June 4th, when the army penetrated the square with tanks and opened fire on the protesters, killing an unknown number, possibly in the thousands.
Also on June 2nd, 1916, IWW, Industrial Workers of the World, Mesabi Rain Strike, a predecessor to the infamous labor deportations in Bisbee, Arizona, coming in July of next year. This year's strike would also round up strikers, force them in cattle cars, and dump them in the middle of the desert. Also on this date, 1919, anarchists carry out series of bomb attacks across the eastern United States, including the house of Attorney General Mitchell Palmer and the Assistant to the Secretary of Navy. Also on June 2, 1977, Native American activist Leonard Peltier is sentenced in Fargo, North Dakota to 2 consecutive life terms for the killing of 2 FBI agents in one of the most corrupt trials in recent history. He's still in jail to this day, and the FBI is vehemently opposed to his release. And the FBI is still holding over 6,000 plus pages in the case, which they refuse to release for national security reasons. This Week in Radical History for June 3rd.
This is your Radio Roots reporter, Mira Beckford. On this day, June 3rd, in 1621, a group of European nations granted the Dutch West India Company a charter for a trade monopoly in the Caribbean and formally gave them jurisdiction over Brazil, North America, and the African slave trade. Although this idea may seem abstract now, legislation such as this was common in the 1600s, which was a time of heavy colonial competition and violent rivalry between European nations. The Dutch West India Company, along with the East India Companies, was one of the first ever multinational corporations operating as a quasi-government with its own colony, military, and even currency. These colonies were a key part of the colonization of the Americas and exploitative trade ventures, including the African slave trade. Wow, what an honorable legacy capitalism has emerged from.
Yeah, I said it. This is your free speech educator, reminding you, never let the past slip away.
Also on June 3rd, 1920, in Russia, during this month, Emma Goldman nurses John Reed in poor health following his release of a 2-month prison term in Finland for unauthorized travel. Reed is the only American ever to be buried inside the Kremlin walls. For a good movie about the interesting life of John Reed, early labor movement in the United States, and short segments featuring Emma Goldman, check out the Warren Beatty 1981 movie titled Reds. Also on June 3rd, 1924, dystopia author and anarchist sympathizer Frank Kafka dies, leaving his unpublished manuscripts at the time, including the titles The Trial, The Castle, America, and The Metamorphosis.
On this day, June 3rd, in 1943, thousands of American Navy sailors on shore leave, together with white supremacist vigilantes, rampaged through the streets of East Los Angeles, beating and killing Latino men in the worst night of anti-Mexican mob action during the week-long siege that would become to be known euphemistically as the Zoot Suit Riots. Zoot Suits, the stylish pastel-colored dress suits very much in vogue among young Mexican-American men in the L.A. urban center, made their wares emblematic targets of the drunken sailors who barged into theaters and clubs, dragging men in zoot suits and others into the streets where they were beaten mercilessly. Racial tensions had been heightened when a group of sailors assaulted some Latino youths near the downtown area, and one of the sailors was severely injured during the attack. The sailors regrouped and formed a posse which went through the downtown streets looking for Mexican-Americans upon whom to effect revenge. The Los Angeles police effectively joined in the attacks, arresting many Latino men whom they charged with having incited the violence. Many of those attacked were scarcely in their teens, and a number of African Americans and Filipinos were also victimized. In the aftermath, an ordinance was passed prohibiting the wearing of zoot suits. A temporary injunction was also put in place prohibiting Navy sailors from taking the shore leave in Los Angeles. 8 sailors were charged with crimes, but only 1 was convicted and none went to jail.
On June 3, 1972, the U.S. Army says the entire command of the American division that was involved in the Mai Lai massacre suppressed the massacre. And who was the investigating officer who started the initial cover-up? It was then First Lieutenant Colin Paul. Once a company man, always a company man. Perhaps you'll understand why he said these words, too.
Secretary of State Colin Powell will make the case for war in a speech to the United Nations.
We also have satellite photos that indicate that banned materials have recently been moved from a number of Iraqi weapons of mass destruction facilities. What we're giving you are facts and conclusions based on solid intelligence.
For more than an hour, Secretary Powell displays photos, holds up a chemical vial that suggests anthrax.
I am no expert on centrifuge tubes, but just as an old Army trooper, I can tell you a couple of things. One of the most worrisome things that emerges from the thick intelligence file we have on Iraq's biological weapons is the existence of mobile production facilities used to make biological agents. Leaving Saddam Hussein in possession of weapons of mass destruction for a few more months or years is not an option.
The speech would turn out to be riddled with misleading allegations, but at the time, the press plays it as an overwhelming success.
What an ass. Also on this date in 2000, 23 service police cars in Portland, Oregon somehow suffer fire damage. This week in radical history for June 4th.
On this day, June 4th in 1912, Massachusetts became the first state in the U.S. to set a minimum wage at 25 cents per hour. Many states enacted similar policies, although until 1941, the Supreme Court upheld that minimum wage legislation was unconstitutional. From 1997 until just this year, the minimum wage remained at $5.15, even though within that 10 years, inflation rose over a quarter and poverty steadily increased. Our government must realize that the price of living has gone up, considering that Congress raised its own pay 7 times since 1997. And I thought Congress was supposed to represent the people.
In 1947, the U.S. Congress passed one of the most sweeping anti-labor laws in history. The Taft-Hartley Act severely restricted the ability of trade unions to engage in electoral politics and forbade the creation of so-called closed shops, where workers are obligated to join a union as a condition of employment. The bill also forbade secondary and solidarity strikes and required unions to obtain affidavits from their members stating that they were not members of the Communist Party. President Truman vetoed the bill on June 20th, but Congress passed the bill again on June 23rd with enough of a majority to override the veto. And in 1989, tens of thousands of Chinese troops with tanks and machine guns flooded into Tiananmen Square and massacred thousands of unarmed Chinese students who had occupied the square for weeks demanding democratic reforms on the part of the Chinese government. The incident brought China's long-standing record of human rights abuses to international attention.
This week in radical history for June 5th, 754. Druids in northern Germany killed missionary Boniface, soon to be Saint Boniface. The Druids did not appreciate Boniface cutting down the holy tree dedicated to Thor. Boniface challenged a pagan's god to save the tree or to kill him after being cut down. Neither happened immediately. Boniface laughed. The pagans then challenged Boniface to get his Christian god to save his head. Boniface was also not successful. The pagans laughed. Also on this date in 1873 in Spain, a proclamation of the First Republic. After the fall of the King of Savory, caused partly by the anarchist agitation from the workmen and rural poor, the Catalan Federalist Pi Margall becomes president. He proposes a decentralized federalist system, separation of church and state, and redistribution of labor, favor for the peasants, in the rural communities. But of course, the monarchist reaction was brutal, moved against revolutionary aspirations. Pi would write, quote, "Our principle is absolute sovereignty of the individual. Our final goal is total destruction of power and its replacement by the contract, our means of decentralization, and the continuing transformation of existing powers." Unquote. Only a couple more items for June 5th, 1912. U.S. Marines invade Cuba and start to install the U.S. mob-friendly dictator. Also on that date in 1926, U.S. having lots of interest to protect, withdraws Marines from Nicaragua on that date, only to bring them back in August again. Also in 1961, U.S. Justice for All Department orders Communist Party members to register with the State Department. In 1970, President Tricky Dick Nixon tells the heads of the FBI, CIA, and NSA he's not getting enough good intelligence on domestic dissidents. Let freedom ring.
On this day, June 5th in 1967, the Six-Day War, also known as the 1967 Arab-Israeli War, began when the Israeli Air Force launched surprise attacks on the Air Force bases of Egypt, Jordan, and Syria. Having gained an extreme advantage in the first day, Israel was able to defeat its opponents after only 6 days and triple its land size. Approximately 1 million Arabs from these lands were placed under Israel's direct control, and many fled their homelands to escape the abuse inflicted by the Israeli military. Israel's attack was partially funded by the U.S. and Britain and was the culmination of ongoing political, religious, and military tensions between Israel and the neighboring Arab nations. Yeah, I said it. This is your free speech educator reminding you, never let the past slip away.
Speaking of occupations, Israel invaded Lebanon on this day in 1982. Palestinian refugees driven from lands illegally annexed by Israel had concentrated in southern Lebanon. Israeli Defense Minister Ariel Sharon, who would later be implicated in the massacres of two Palestinian villages that same year, launched an aerial and ground assault aimed at driving the Palestinians into the northern half of the country away from the Israeli border. The assault included the shelling of major cities, including Tyre and the capital city of Beirut, during which many Lebanese civilians were killed. The Israeli occupation of southern Lebanon would continue in varying degrees for another 17 years. On this day, June 7th, Mohandas Gandhi began his political career in 1893 in the South Africa, where he was working as a lawyer at the time. Gandhi objected to the white South African government's policies of racial segregation as they applied to the country's Indian population. Like Rosa Parks in the United States, half a century later, Gandhi refused to give up his seat on a South African passenger train and moved to a segregated section for Indians. This was considered to be an act of civil disobedience. In 1906, the South African government began to require Indians to carry special identification cards, and Gandhi again protested by refusing to abide by the new law. However, he never took action against the white South African government's unequal treatment of black African citizens. In fact, Gandhi even sided with the English against South Africa's Zulu population during the Zulu Wars for independence. It would be at least another decade before Gandhi began to connect the Indian struggle for independence in India to independence struggles elsewhere in the world. And in 1981, long before the United States began to regard Iraqi President Saddam Hussein as something less than a reliable asset, Israel launched airstrikes against Baghdad on this day to destroy a nuclear power plant in the suburb of Tuwaitha, which the Israelis claimed may have been part of an Iraqi program of nuclear weapons development. Israel already had nuclear weapons of its own by that time, a fact later confirmed by Israeli dissident Mordecai Vanunu, who supplied photographs of Israeli weapons facilities to a British newspaper in 1986. Although no evidence was presented proving Iraq was engaged in nuclear weapons development, the United States would use the same false pretense to launch a much larger assault in Iraq 2 decades later. The United Nations condemned Israel's attack at the time. And those are just some of the events in world history that took place on this day, June 7th. This Day in History is a production of the Neighborhood Network in Columbus, Ohio. I'm Evan Davis.
This was This Week in Radical History, produced from the Mobile Underground, Aqua, and Aerial Fortress of Glee, Glee Studios. Thanks for listening. We're going to take you out with the last Internationale. And until next week, as always and forever, always remember, I'm yours in a struggle, Mike Cannon.
I come from East Virginia, where I was born in an old back shed. My father moved us to New Orleans, where he was forced to use his hands.
sleep now. It'll hurt less in the morning.